Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here. American Family Insurance can help protect your dream home for whatever comes next. You can live in your own oasis or your own clubhouse. Whatever you choose, get the right coverage. Save up to 23% by bundling home and auto. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. This is Dan.
And Nick.
Nick, Silk will be joining us here in a few minutes, but we are going to get started. Nick, obviously outside of the football game, how was Thanksgiving? How was your weekend?
Yeah, long week, but nice. First year married, and we decided to host everybody. Had both of our parents, brother-in-law, sister-in-law, a six-year-old and a four-year-old, and then had some of Lauren's work friends come over for Thanksgiving. But it was a great time, a lot of food. Shout out to Danielle, my sister, whipped up a feast for 13 people. Good times to see them. And yeah, then there was football.
Good. Yeah, a big week of football, a big Dolphins victory.
Our Miami Dolphins, America's team.
Miami Dolphins. I mean, just an absolute just bloodbath in New York City. Well, I guess East Rutherford, New Jersey. Miami Dolphins, again, look like one of the best teams in the NFL. Now the Jets stink, and this is a reminder that you stink. But no, great game by the Miami Dolphins. I was down in South Florida, our neck of the woods. Nick sent you a picture of the old Runyons where he almost had a square up back in the day. Ask Nick privately about his Runyon square up story.
Yeah.
But no, good.
You probably need to ask Kyle, to be honest. Kyle will tell it better than I will.
You can find Kyle on my Twitter. I shot him the Runyons photo yesterday.
At Real Kyle Johnson. Go tweet at him right now. He is a lawyer, probably very busy, also has a newborn. So tweet it, Kyle.
Call his law office. Cut into his billable hours about the Runyon story.
Honestly, he could probably extend the Runyon story to like 35 minutes. And I don't know what his hourly rate is, but I could, you know, send him and his beautiful wife, JC, on a nice vacation with the billable hours of telling that high school story.
But it's good to be down in South Florida. Went boating. Had a great time. As a personal aside, as we wait for Silk, we'll get into the show here in a second. If you could keep my family in your thoughts and prayers, someone very, very close to me is dealing with a medical emergency right now. That person is in the hospital right now. So if you could keep my family in your thoughts and prayers, that would be greatly appreciated. So, let's get on to the show. Like I said, Silk will be joining here any minute. As always, this show is sponsored by our friends over at the Gataverse. Go support them, GATAVERSE.io. Again, Gataverse.io. It is the one of the best ways that you can support University of Florida athletics through NIL initiatives, both with physical and digital collectibles. We did a big giveaway with Trevor Etienne earlier in this year. You can still do that. There's still a meet and greet opportunity at Bluebird Wings in Gainesville. They're supporting the women's volleyball team basketball program. I know that they're looking at baseball, basketball, and other programs as well at the University of Florida. So please, please, please continue to support Gataverse.io, Gataverse, and support University of Florida NIL initiatives with both physical and digital collectibles that do allow you to get discounts and special perks around the city of Gainesville. All right, Nick. So Gators do lose, unfortunately, to Florida State, capping the season at 5-7. Gators lose 24-15 in a game where Florida had the chance to be up 18-0 in the first half. It felt like one of those games that when the Gators did not take a bigger lead going into halftime, or they allowed that touchdown at the end of the second quarter to go up just 12-7. You kind of had an inkling that this game just might not turn out the way that Florida fans and Florida Gators and Billy Napier would have wanted. A couple of missed points by Trey Smack, some absolute abusement on the offensive line. And then just some poor tackling. And then finally, and I think most notably in biggest glaring to me, was just some absolute large mental mistakes, both a spinning penalty by Jamari Lyons that gets Kim kicked out of the game, a hit by Jaden Hill on a diving Tate Rodemaker. Just ultimately not what you wanted to see. What are we in now? 25 games into the Billy Napier tenure at the University of Florida. So, Nick, from your bird's eye perspective, give us your thoughts.
Yeah, I think there were a couple of missed opportunities. It hasn't been the case. This isn't like a normal theme, but it was the case, I felt like, in Missouri, where the defense, that ragtag bunch of guys who missed tackles and who have been abused for 5 weeks, are making some stops and keeping you in the game, holding some momentum. And the offense just isn't able to capitalize. Now, I think, and I think I even tweeted it during the game, it felt like it was going to be the Missouri, or not the Missouri, the Tennessee game plan, where you've got, you know, these long extended drives. For his first drive, 13 plays. You go down the field. I'm pulling up my my stat broadcast here so I can run through it. 13 plays, go down the field, you miss a field goal. And it's just like, oh, geez. Then you get
what happened to Trey Smack. You think the kick a couple weeks ago against Arkansas got into his head a little bit?
I don't know. You know, kickers. Listen, Dan, can they say kicking is like golf? You get on the first tee and you duck hook one, and that's in your mind on every tee box the rest of the afternoon.
That's actually been on my mind every time I've gone golf.
Every single time. Okay.
If I hit one straight, it's like, well, where'd that come from? This one's next.
But like, listen, the defense starts punt, 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 safety.
Yeah.
And Florida could have started 21-0 or at the worst, 13-0. But you get a missed field goal on a 13-play, 45-yard drive that eats up 7 minutes of clock. You get the ball back. Defense goes through, or defense forces FSU to go three and out, three and out. You get the ball back. 13 plays, 70 yards, 7 minutes, 4 seconds. You have, in less than two full quarters, you have almost a full quarter of time of possession. And I'm thinking this is the Tennessee game plan, which takes connecting on third down, converting on third down. Florida started really well. I think they were like 5 of 7 and then finished like 0 of 6 or something like that. And then you get a punt, punt, and another missed field goal. It's just like the wasted opportunities. But when it went into halftime, at 12-7, you're thinking, and that's when I started looking up the middle eight. I'm thinking this game could be 21-0. It doesn't have to be 12-7. And now Florida State gets the ball back. So the offense, I think, just, and we can't blame the offense. The offense moved the ball. You had a quarterback in Max Brown who was making his first start, was never expected to start. I didn't expect him to play at all this year. And then everything that happens with Jack Miller, and then obviously Graham Mertz getting hurt.
Well, then Jalen Kitna, right? Like even going into this year, right? Like I don't think that Max Brown was ever going to be a second year starter at the University of Florida. That was never the expectation two seasons ago.
No, not the quarterback that you stole from Jim McElwain.
Yeah, who stinks, by the way.
How dare you? Jim and Karen are beautiful people. So I think it was on our podcast. I said, like, Florida's going to run the football. And I was like, I think they're going to throw it 14 to 20 times, and you're just running it after that. The totals were 16 passes to 44 runs, and you probably would have thrown it less if you weren't down in the game. Florida was running it efficiently. Montrell Johnson finishes with 107 yards on 18 carries. That 52-yard touchdown, and I'm waiting to talk about a certain play until we can get Silk in, but like Florida offensively was running it effectively. And I think a lot of that has to do with now you're playing 11 on 11 because you have to account for the quarterback to run. But they just didn't, for the second week in a row at least, did not take advantage of momentum when they had the chances to. And then I think Billy Napier with that double reverse pass got caught up in the momentum because you went away from everything that was working.
Yeah.
To try
sometimes
to hit
it. Let's wait for it. Right?
Yeah. But overall,
it works and everybody's happy, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's the thing about losing is that everything is hypercritical at that moment. I don't agree with the call, right? And obviously with the backup quarterback and everything else. But at the end of the day, if that call works, then, you know, everybody's
hero.
Like, oh, wow, look, you know, look, Florida won this game because Billy Napier went out on a limb, right?
Yeah.
I know how this game works.
So to me, what happened, I couldn't go to sleep, so I stayed up and I watched the game over again. I did like a drive-by-drive like commentary on Gators Online. And it helped me to like remember it. And Florida, like I said, going through this game, like Florida's defense – is doing the damn thing. Punt, 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 safety. And I'm like, okay, this team, this defense came to play. This is Tate Rodemaker. This ain't Jordan Travis. And being in the stadium, like, it was like breathing. Like, the stadium was pulsating. It was exciting. It was back. I think Billy Napier gets caught up in that. You get the ball back after that safety, and you think, okay, we can end this game, essentially end this game with a huge play. But I was just talking about it. The first drive, 13 plays, 45 yards. 13 plays, 70 yards. Your field goal drive, I think you started at the FSU 40, so it's only 5 for 23. But, like, your offense is not explosive. It wasn't explosive with a great passer. What are we doing here? I get that you're trying to capitalize on momentum, but I think Billy Napier, the play caller, got caught up in how loud the stadium was, what was going on in the game, and says, let's take a big shot. When all you need to do was, hey, we're running it at 4.5 a clip. Keep doing that. Have another drive that lasts 7 minutes. That takes us 3.7 points into the locker room. Instead,
Nick, can we talk about this? Let's talk about this play.
Yeah, that's what we're getting into. So it's a double reverse pass, and it doesn't work. One, I think Max Brown was out of the tackle box. But to me, you had a game plan, and it was working, and then you get caught up in the moment. You go away from the game plan. This offense can't handle second and 16, let alone second and 26. So once that play is ruled intentional grounding, that drive is dead. You don't even need to run the next two plays. That drive's dead. FSU capitalizes, they go down, they score. Now you're at 12-7, and Montrell gives you a chance to even capitalize and get more points before half, but you miss another field goal. So to me, that play doesn't win you, lose you the game. To me, that play just shows this is what we're talking about with Billy Napier as a play caller, like having the feel for the game, not getting wrapped up in it. You had a game plan that was working. A game plan that has worked in other games, beating Tennessee at home in a similar atmosphere. You get caught up, your team can't execute, shoots itself in the foot, and now here you are 12-7 at halftime instead of 21-0, you know, 15-0, something like that, and FSU gets the ball back. Go ahead, Silk. I'm done. Off my soapbox.
You're on mute.
I'm with you. Which, when you're right, we've been talking about the play calling all year, bro. We need an OC. But the crazy thing about it is, when has the double reverse worked? You did the same thing in Georgia game and killed the momentum of a drive. Like, Trey Wilson was cooking. I don't understand, like, why you keep trying to run this play. We returned the ball off of onside, like, got all the momentum. You kill that momentum with a horrific play call that – never even had a chance. Our offensive line isn't blocking well enough to be dealing with double reverses. Like, nobody bit on the first reverse, and then we came back with another one when everybody's just sitting there looking at us, and you can see it from afar. I'm watching Max Brown drop back in a way that he's about to get a pitch. And in my mind, as they're doing the reverse, I'm saying, yo, they're about to try a flea flicker here. So you do a double reverse flea flicker when you got momentum, you're running down their throat, Just keep laying on them. We see him do the same thing Florida State game last year. We ran the ball down their throat, and then we come out and throw 15 straight passes in the second half. That's why we need an OC. You know, like, overall, I don't know if you spoke about the game yet, Dan. I don't know if you want to go first.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, we weren't too far.
You spoke about it? Okay. I'm sorry that I'm late, guys. I just, you know, life be life in a little bit, especially on Monday mornings. So I'm late. I told the guys go ahead and start. But my overall, man, first half, I mean, you couldn't have asked the defense to play any better than they did first half. They play with a lot of emotions. They thrive off that building. That's just what it is. Austin Armstrong, his energy, I thought was on point. And we was getting the stops we needed. We their confidence, they were shaking. The run game was on point. I think Max Brown was playing on point, making plays in the pass game.
He has some swagger to him, doesn't he? Like,
yeah, but
moment not too big.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not gonna be big. His mental is all on point, but he don't understand protections at all. There's a lot to be desired with understanding protection and getting us out of a bad look. So I do kind of understand why we didn't drop back and pass a lot, because when he wasn't recognizing certain things, we were getting put in some crazy positions with sacks and all of that. So he got to work on some things, but you couldn't ask for a better first half than what we had. But you could have went up 19-0 at a point, at the worst 15-0, and you squandered that opportunity with a terrible play. But the first half, as a team that's favored to lose against a top five rivalry, you couldn't ask for a better situation, you know, from our defense. I thought offensively we played shy, scared, safe. He was playing not to lose the game. And that's just not energy, bro. You got nothing to lose in this matchup. Like, this is a top five team. Like, go out and let your nuts hang a little bit, bro. Like, I understand the protection stuff, but let Max go do his thing. I thought he could have had better run designs. Like, when we tried to draw, they was waiting on it. You know, in a team with a pass rush and we can't block, that draw should have worked a lot better than it did, but it didn't, because Billy don't have a feel for the game. That double reverse is a bad feel for the game. It wasn't the time for that. Mm-hmm. Second half was just abysmal offensive play calling. You know, there was no, and I know we lost our running backs. I get the injuries, but it was nothing sexy about the approach. You know, if you could script at least one drive, a script, you know, and have a bucket of plays, I didn't see anything. I seen safe football, safe runs inside the pocket, in between the tackles. The jet sweep with Trey Wilson really wasn't utilized at all. I thought we could have got the ball and made more efforts to get the ball to Ricky Pearsall, who's on the bridge of trying to get 1,000 yards. There should have been way more effort to getting the ball in number one hands, but it just wasn't there. And we've seen what we've seen all year in the final game. We need an offensive play caller, and we also need an infusion of talent, man. Defensive line, I'm gonna keep standing on this. Austin Armstrong, I don't see a problem with the scheme. I see a problem.
It's not a problem.
There's no problem with the scheme. Guys are in place and not making tackles. Number eight is a war criminal.
Oh, no. Oh,
he is a war criminal. Are you kidding me, man? He's playing two-hand touch out there, bro.
Yeah, that effort was atrocious.
That's crazy to me. And Umi's my guy. Number one's my guy. But you got to make that tackle, dog. Like, this is big boy football. You one-on-one with a running back, you got him in the backfield. You miss that tackle, he goes, you know, for a touchdown. You got to make those plays. The scheme is there. Shout out to Derek Wingo. He ain't perfect, bro. The effort is there.
The effort, yeah.
The effort, the passion, like, he leaving it all out on the field. You don't want him in space covering people, and I get all that.
Yeah, like, Derek Wingo's body has just, like, failed him. Like, he's going to need another shoulder surgery after the season. I had to give him a shout out. First off, yeah, like that. He's going to need another surgery after the season. He's been playing hurt all year. It's just like his body is just keeps breaking down. But like the effort he gave you, like, he's needed shoulder surgery for over a month, probably 3 weeks. And like, that's the kind of player you need. And like, talking to people, like, you'd like to put Derek Wingo's effort, and knowledge of like where to be, instincts, put that into like Scooby Williams' body and like that athleticism. Right. But shout out to Wingo. If that's his last game, who knows if he'll hit the portal or not. He's got one more year to play. If you want to play football and you're Derek Wingo, if you want snaps, you're going to go somewhere else. You could come back, be the glue guy, be the locker room guy and you know, keep on with your 12 snaps a game, and graduate from Florida. So yeah, Dan, we're getting into the silly season. We're getting into the portal season, but Derek Wingo played his ass off.
Yeah, we'll talk a lot about that. I do think it's important to give some flowers here. Devin Moore is your best cornerback. You got to wrap the guy in bubble wrap, man.
Yeah, he's made of actual paper mache, I think.
It's crazy. But do you see the skills, man? Like, there's a couple of times where he needs to look back and make that interception instead of face guarding. But outside of that, bro, he had just comes Keon Coleman.
And he can't play long enough to get the experience.
Yeah, he had Keon Coleman in a vice grip. Like, shout out to him for the football play that he had. He just got to stay healthy and stay on the field. I thought Marshall played a better game than he's played in the past as well. We also had some interceptions. We was put in place. Like, these guys were prepared for this Florida State offense. There was a time where we jumped some routes and when
Jaden Hill.
You got to catch that and win those games. Like, players got to make plays. That's just what it is. But from a defensive scheme perspective, I'm rocking with Armstrong. Everybody had a lot of opinions about him. It ain't perfect, but bro, he had Mike Norvell in a vice grip as well. He couldn't figure out nothing to do in the first half. We had Trey Benson bottled up. Mm-hmm. Pass game, they couldn't do nothing. We just didn't capitalize on our defense playing very well. And that's been the thing of this season is if the offense playing well, the defense is not. If the defense is playing well, the offense is not. We haven't got on the same page one time this year. Maybe Tennessee game, but that's about it.
Through four drives, Florida State had run 13 plays. They had amassed negative yards and negative points. They had lost 7 yards, lost 2 points.
It's like an FSU SAT score, you know?
Roughly. There were a lot of Florida State fans inside Ben Hill Griffin Stadium, which I thought it was ironic because they were on the alumni side. Probably the closest they're ever going to get to being an alumni.
Real university,
But like to your point, Silk, like the defense came out hair on fire. Jaden Hill jumped that screen like Connor Stallions had been in the building, like Connor Stallions had dropped the script.
Connor Stallions on my staff next year.
Connor Stallions had dropped the script off of Jaden Hill. He jumped on that. If you can get your hands, like I don't know that watching it back again, like. It would have been an exceptional interception to get his hands on it the way he was running. I think you're better off just swatting the ball down rather than trying to go all out for a pick. Even though if you do get the pick, there's nothing between you, 14 yards of free dirt to get in. But if you don't, and that ball is now caught, okay, well now you're playing 10 on 11 and they've got blockers and it's a huge play. To Devin Moore's point, I think there was a savvy senior move. The PI that he got called on, it looked like they were hand fighting, and then he got pulled into him. Like receiver, ball was underthrown, so you're gonna get calls based on the way that the game is now. But like the receiver kind of like has his arm hooked around and just pulls him in. He's like, hey, this ball's underthrown, pulls him in. That's a veteran receiver getting a call there.
Yeah, I that was a terrible call, but we're not going to put it on the road. We got blessed with a call as well that got us 7. So, like, referees is a wash to me. What do you guys think about the another pivotal play, right? Was the personal foul, the spitting in the face from Lyons, our defensive tackle, which I think was just crazy. You got to be more disciplined than that, bro. And we keep seeing that trend as well. Another trend we want to see cleaned up is just discipline. Penalties is discipline. You know, like that is a very selfish play. The moment you have right there, you got to consider everything. You're playing well. Make this team drive the distance of the field. Don't give them no momentum. College football runs off of energy and momentum big time. And you just give them 15 yards after they just made a big play. But we're about to get them the third down and maybe get them off the field. But instead, you get them 15, first down, better field position. They're going to get 7 points. And you hurt your team because you're not there no more. You're part of the rotation that we need. You were playing good football. Now you're away. You're hurting your team for being selfish and emotional.
That's really the big one. So, like, you're not losing, you know, Ndamukong Suh when Jamari Lyons goes out. But now every other defensive tackle has to play your snaps. If you were going to play 15 snaps, that's 10 more that Cam Jackson has to play. How effective are those 10 extra snaps? You've now created – a situation where you're playing a man down because you let the heat of the moment get to you and you decide to spit and watching the replay.
Is, right, like, the most disrespectful thing you could do to another man is spit on him, bro.
Wasn't even a good spit. It was just like a flew out. Didn't even get like a nice loogie and snipe somebody. It was just like spraying. Like spray, man. Yeah. Just like
people used to put water in their water bottles and like.
Spit, not even a, you know, yeah, not like he looked like Triple H before he got in the ring. It wasn't even a good spit rep. Wasn't even a good spit rep.
Shout out to Zach.
I thought he made it rain. Nick, you say he didn't.
Me and Zach are on the same page.
Yeah, Zach.
Yeah. I thought he made it rain. You saying he didn't get out a good loogie, but like he got some showers out. Like it was a lot of coverage.
Yeah, yeah.
It's disrespectful. You can't expect to win football games if you got players that are spitting on people. You know, like
right in front of the referee. I mean, come on.
Come on.
What are you doing? You're good. Do it in the pile. You know what I mean?
Coming soon to Billy's Army, the coordinator of not spitting in other people's faces during football games.
You got to grow up and gouge your eye out.
Apply on LinkedIn.
In the pile, like Brandon Spikes, man. You can't just be standing up spitting on people. It's outlandish.
Listen, when you got dirty work to do, make sure you're on the bottom of the pile where they can't
be in the pile, man.
Those are the rules, bro.
Like, those are the rules. Like, we'll allow you gouging the aisle in the pile. If you don't get caught, it's hard to see in the pile. They call it Brandon Spikes, but standing up, spitting in front of the ref, like, bro, you're in 4K.
Yeah.
And you got to sit out all the way next year to Miami game.
The ref was like,
forgot about that.
Yeah, he got out the first half of the Miami game. Like, come on, bro. Like, what do you?
No. He got thrown out in the first game, first half. So he missed the second half, and then he's good. It was early. Yeah, he got thrown out early.
I thought that was in the third period.
Was it third quarter?
Yeah, it's third quarter, bro.
All right, I'd have to double check. Well, I know people in the facts. Let us know.
Fact check us. When was it?
That's when they got the momentum and started going ahead. I believe. I think they went ahead on that drive, if I'm not mistaken. Was when after he spit that loogie, they went on to score a touchdown to go up 14-12 or whatever it may be. We came back down, kick a field goal to make it 15-14, something like that. It was traumatic to me. I remember I have PTSD just thinking about it, man. This season has been atrocious with that type of stuff, bro. We made the worst. And my man Trace Mack gotta hit them kicks. You gotta hit them kicks. You at home, you a big time kicker, bro. Like, I'm not blaming him, but that's your job, is to hit field goals. And those points matter, the momentum of it, all of it. You got to be able to score. We didn't win in two phases of the game. Special team was very important, and we dropped the ball. But shout out to Kreshaw for smashing punts all night.
Yeah. It was in the
first. My guy.
It was in the second quarter.
Second quarter?
Led them.
Yeah, I knew it was the first half. Okay.
I thought it was their second touchdown, so my apologies. Let's see here.
Don't get away from that. Silk just gave the punter his props. If we're giving out flowers, Jeremy Crawshaw.
Best part of the season, though. 168 yards.
Yeah, his and one bet. Right, I needed to go 67 yards. 67 would have been better.
He had to go like greater than 57 yards.
But no, his 68-yard punt went into the end zone. So if
went
like
through the end zone. It was a boom.
No, it's a, you know, sometimes it's just a bad hop on the ground.
It's just Florida special teams this year. You know what I mean? You find a kicker, can't make a kick for the rest of his life. After the Arkansas game, punting, we can't seem to figure that out. Blocking, tackling. Anything, just special teams. I expect a change and hope for a change to be announced there at any moment.
Any moment, for real?
I mean, I don't know, like, truly if I mean any moment, because that would mean you'd have to fire somebody. And
I do want to see some urgency. Like, there's a lot of firing and hiring going on right now.
There's been a lot of stuff that's been announced for other programs and not a lot that's been announced here. So, I would imagine this week you'll do your exit interviews and everything else, and they'll probably start seeing some, if there's going to be changes soon.
I started a dirty rumor about Rob Sale being a lead candidate for the Duke job.
That'd be great, you know?
I think you're the one starting that rumor.
That's what I said. Yeah, I'm starting that nasty rumor. I knew that. And I heard his OC may be Stapleton. That's just what the rumors are saying.
That's the streets are talking.
We got to find them jobs because I don't know if Billy going to fire him. Let's just keep it a beam, bro. Like, I think we should be getting active with getting whatever changes we're going to make. And I'm not saying it's a huge rush, but 9 times out of 10, whatever OC we're going to get, he ain't going to be.
It is a huge rush. Let's talk about that here in a second. Let's do a quick ad read. One time for our friends over at Lucy lucy.co. It is a, they make tobacco-free nicotine for people to focus better, think deeper, chill out, smoother, and inspire creativity, alertness, attention, mood, focusing better, thinking. All things that you can do with Lucy, 100% pure tobacco-free nicotine, 5 different strengths from 2 milligrams all the way up to 12 milligrams, 12 different flavors, some of my favorites, cinnamon, mint, mango, wintergreen, pomegranate, apple ice, and espresso. Nick and I both tried them. We really like them. Silken, it's not totally your vibe, but we really like it. Superior to any pouches that I've done before. Very long-lasting flavor. Doesn't get grimy in your mouth. So again, go check out lucy.co/stadium to get 20% off and free shipping. Again, that's lucy.co/stadium. to get 20% off of your first order and free shipping. All right, so changes have to be made, right? So you have early signing day in about 3 weeks. Florida is going to there's going to be an announcement probably pretty soon on coaches that are going to be retained or not. Nick, do you have the running list of who is still on contract going into next year?
Everyone is. Let me see.
Billy Gonzalez on contract going into next year. Is
he? Yeah. So, yeah. So, coaching contracts, have them right here. Rob Sale, Darnell Stapleton, Jabbar Jalouk, Sean Spencer, Jay Bateman, Mike Peterson, everyone that was the original, is signed through January 31st of 2024.
Oh, so no, that's not going into next year. That's going those into are the guys actual that, those calendar are the, year, but
yes,
not
those are the guys. Year. Yes, those are the guys that need to be extended, retained.
Gotcha.
Their contracts will be up in 2024.
You fooled me there, Nicholas.
Billy Gonzalez, Russ Callaway, Austin Armstrong, or Billy Gonzalez, Russ Callaway, and Corey Raymond are signed through 2025. Austin Armstrong is signed through 2026.
Okay, so everybody signed to a 2-year contract. Except for Corey Raymond, who signed a 3-year contract.
He signed and here we go again. I feel like this needs to be said every single day because I get like, well,
it's not coach safeties.
The defensive backs are supposed to be better because Corey was coaching all of them. You needed to give Corey Raymond a raise, so you gave him a different title so you can give him a raise. Austin Armstrong coaches the safeties. Corey Raymond is not coaching safeties in practice. Say it. We'll say it as many times as we need to say it. He's not coaching the safeties. Coaches cornerbacks. Just need to get more money.
Hmm. So obvious changes are going to be made somewhere. Right? Florida has suffered immensely on offense this year at times. They've struggled on defense. They've struggled in recruiting at times. Certainly the transfer portal is now open. We will talk about a few of those transfers that have gone in already, but you really have a short window here to figure out your plan for next year. So what do you guys think that plan is going to be?
I'm sorry. What do you mean?
What would you guys like to see happen?
With the staff?
Yeah.
All right. First of all, I'll get into my bag. We need an OC. I'm not sure what that looks like. I need an OC with experience. Success at a Power 5 level or NFL, in my opinion. I don't want anything Sun Belt. I don't care what the success level is on Sun Belt. I think Billy needs somebody with a little bit more knowledge than him and some success, a guy that wants to become a head coach somewhere else that's ambitious. That's similar scheme, you know, and all that. I get that keeping the playbook and the scheme is important because if that guy get another job, you got to still have your, you know, offensive continuity, you know, but we need an OC. That's very obvious. When getting that OC, you obviously gonna have to get rid of the OC and title. Like, I don't think you're gonna pay another guy a couple more $1 million and Rob Sale a couple $1 million. So I think we're gonna need an offensive line coach because I wouldn't want Stapleton to coach my offensive line alone. So I think the whole offensive line room is up for grabs. You find your offensive line coach. Who I would want, shit, we got some former Gators at some good places that can recruit and can coach the offensive line position. Go drop a bag, go crazy. You know, that's what I would want, but I don't know if that happens. Outside the offensive line, like there's a lot to be desired with Billy Gonzalez, just to keep it a beam. Like recruiting wise, I would love to have seen maybe more freshmen, and you know, some things happen at receiver that I didn't get to see. He may be good, you know, in coaching him on the field. I don't know, but I don't like what I saw in the totality as far as like young boys getting on the field. I see guys like Andy Jean, Will Mazzell, and it could be an offensive scheme thing, but I see young guys that are used for their skill set to be able to maximize and get the best out of your room. I thought Will Mazzell and
Aiden Mazzell.
His dad's Will Mazzell. I apologize. I just talked with him the other day, so it's a mistake. Aiden Mazzell and Andy Jean, both of guys I thought could have been utilized this year, you know. And he's just not a great recruiter. So I would like to see a different change there. Coach Spencer is on borderline for me with defensive line. I want to see how he closed in the recruiting ranks, but what the product on the field is a lot to be desired in my defensive line room. And it could be a talent thing, but I'm just not seeing it. Outside of that, I'm pretty cool. I don't think we need to be doing any more changes outside of that.
Defensive line is not super talented. Like I said, that preseason, I was like, there's no all SEC guys outside of maybe Princely, but I thought they'd be better because you had a bunch of them and you could rotate them and keep them fresh. But like, we're not talking about, you know, a defensive line room with Sharif Floyd and Dominic Easley in it.
It's teaching things that I'm seeing that I don't like from a leverage standpoint and you know, pad level, like all of that stuff. I don't think we're being taught well in that manner, or they're not grasping whatever's happening. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I understand like what the talent level is at, but there's still a way to play the position that I don't think is being played well, in particular defensive tackle. Cam Jackson, I think he's a talented kid. He's gonna play in the NFL a long time. There's talent there. I think we're missing some get off in that room, period. And even at defensive end, there's some get off missing. The lack of sacks gotta account for something. Like, this is an all-time low year for us at sacks, bro. And is this the worst defensive line we ever had at Florida? I don't think so. I think there's just something missing in that department with technique, you know, and the defensive line is heavy on that too. You're not just going to be bigger, faster, and stronger than people in college. You got to have some moves. I don't see no moves from my defensive line. Mm-mm. You seeing moves? I see guys that's just trying to beat people. You know, pad level is atrocious. Leverage is atrocious. But I don't see guys with moves, technique, and things like that to just beat
people. You're talking about, so like Spencer's just the interior line, and like the way they go, they're just like, hey, strike, peek.
Mike P on the list too, then
disengage.
I forgot about like, Mike P. Throw Mike
P. Mike P's got all, so nose tackle, defensive tackle, Spencer. Mike P's got all the ends and edges.
Yeah, but all of them, none of them have moves.
Yeah,
you working the hell out of that, Mike, then.
Just rack. We saw Rick Flair. Dan saw Rick Flair in the comments. He goes, "I'll show you some wrestling. Get over here, Mike."
Oh, is it noisy? Sorry.
Yeah.
All right, well, I don't hear it. I got that
mic in a headlock.
Sorry. I thought it was more convenient for me. I guess not for the listener. I care about. let's talk a little bit about defense. Obviously, you've got to attack the portal.
Well, here's the thing on defense is Armstrong's going to stay. Armstrong's going to stay. He's not going anywhere. And then you've got 1, 2, 3 expiring contracts in Peterson, Bateman, Spencer on defense. Who does Austin Armstrong like? If I'm Billy Napier, and hey, Austin, I'm going to ride or die with you. Like, my seat is going to be hot because we went from 5-2 to 5-7 in a 43-day span. So my seat's right. Going to be hot in 24. I can't get another third defensive coordinator for my third year. So I'm riding or dying with you, Austin. Do what you want with your coaching staff. Here's 3 guys. Do you want them retained? We'll retain them. If you want somebody else, we can make that happen. But if I'm Billy Napier and my seat's going to be hot in 24, I need to let the defensive coordinator do what he wants to do with his staff. So yeah. I think the defensive staff is up to Austin Armstrong. Offensively, I agree with Silk. Like, listen, I get Billy Napier's reasoning. You've got so many guys on the offensive line. Why wouldn't you have 2 coaches? You typically have 2 coaches for defensive backs because it's a big room with safeties, corners, nickels. Makes sense. It's just not working. It's not working. You're paying like $1.5 million to two guys. Rob Sale makes $1 million to have an offensive coordinator title. He doesn't call plays and he coaches half a position group. Now listen, Florida is like ninth in the SEC in terms of paying assistants. So, you can afford to pay guys more. But the two offensive line coach experiment to me is just not working, and you need to create room for a play caller. Whether that's like, hey, Russ Callaway is going to be the offensive coordinator and he's going to be your tight ends coach
around here.
I'm just saying a position coach, like Russ Callaway is a position coach. And now if you want to give a position coach play calling duties, throw them up in the box. I don't need the guy calling plays down on the field. I need somebody on offense up in the box, relaying what they're seeing from a bird's eye view to Billy Napier. And you don't have to give up everything. Like, Billy, you can still coach quarterbacks during the week. You can still be involved in that development. You can still be involved in the game plan. If the play comes down on the headset and you don't like it, guess what? You're the head coach. No, I don't like that one. Go to the next one. Pick something else. But I just think ebbs and flows. Well, they're getting delays the game right now. So wasting timeouts now.
Yeah, no, they really are. They are really bad at that.
Is the operation? The operation I just described is going to be slower than what we've watched for 2 years.
No, I think you just let them call whoever's coming here. Like I said, you got to hire a guy that's alpha mindset. It's my offense. Get out of the way. Straight up. That's the only way this works. Now, I want to be like fair to everybody involved. You know, we fans, we speaking passionate about what we want to see from this team, the changes that could be made. And we're going to do that in a very like rational way. But I think Billy's a guy that can conform and change, man. We'll see. Like off season, you got to give him the opportunity to do that. Hire, fire, make some changes. He's a young guy. When they made this move to bring in, when Strickland brought him in, that was my take on this show. This is a long play. This is not a Dan Mullen play, a guy that's going to come in X and O you and have some structure, bro. We got him from Louisiana, a Sun Belt program.
Louisiana.
Like there's still a lot for him to learn and do, and I want to see what adjustments he makes. I'm going to support this team. I'm going to support who's ever at the helm. Mm-hmm. You know, he's obviously understand the sea he in, you know, and we'll see how he adjusts to it. And then we'll go from there. There's an opportunity to get in the portal this winter as well. We seen the portal action last year. I had a take on the timeline saying I think Graham Mertz have proved that he's worth investing and putting athletes around him.
Yeah.
I understand last year why they didn't go all in on the Keon Coleman or the big time skill position players that came out, because there's a lot of unknowns of what we was getting out of the portal in our quarterback position. That could have been a bad investment. But at this point, you know, this guy is more than legit. Like, he's not Joe Montana. I'm not saying that he don't have any, you know, faults in his game. He does. But he proved that he's one of the best quarterbacks in SEC returning next year. So if you think he's one of the best quarterbacks, we know how important the quarterback position is in college football. He's one of the best coming back in his conference next year. Mm-hmm. Put some weapons around him. Straight up, and we'll see how they do that type of stuff. The coaching changes, and do you put the players, the offensive line, to protect this kid? Get me an edge rusher. Get me a number one receiver to go with my young boys. Like show me that, you know, you want to go and win this thing. If they don't do that, then I set my expectations around that.
But yeah. So the issue I have is I look at the offensive line, and you're going to lose Kingsley. He's going to go to the NFL. I believe Micah Mazzucca is going to go to the draft. Austin Barber is going to think about it. You're not shopping at Neiman Marcus in the transfer portal for offensive line. Like you're probably shopping at Dollar General, like five-star offensive, and you need offensive tackle help, really. Five-star offensive tackles go to schools like Alabama, go to schools like Texas, and then they stay there for 3 years and they go to the draft. So I'm seeing a lot of people being like, we need 10 plus guys, studs in the portal. I'm like, there might not be 10 guys that want to come to Florida
I think if we land the guys we did have on our radar last year, right?
Like Keon Coleman never even visited, didn't want yeah, no part of Florida.
That's business though. Like, of course, Keon coming, like, you got a couple mil. Oh no, nah, man, just come. Oh, well, then I ain't pulling up. Like, it's business too.
And they don't have that.
I'm just saying that's what it is, though. Like, it's not like the coaching staff didn't want Keon Coleman, right? That comes with some other things. Keon Coleman's not leaving Michigan State as the top guy in the portal to come play just for funsies and a logo. You know, he's not a fan of anything. Like, money is way. He's got 1 year. Give me a check, a chance to go win something big, and then we could talk. But
bro, he's good. That dude plays the ball. But if he plays the ball in the air like crazy. Pause.
He didn't. He didn't Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Devin Moore. Had the boy in handcuffs.
Devin Moore.
I think if we land the guys we did have on our radar last year, right? Like, we just missed. We didn't bring in those guys that we went out there. They playing well at other programs. So I think there is the availability to go get a good offensive line in the portal. You got to actually land them and not bring in the backups of who you landed. Damian George wasn't our first option. We missed. And then we had to bring in a Damian George, who's an offensive guard that you really, that's what he was at Bama. That's what they wanted him at, because they didn't think he could play tackle. So you're taking somebody's backup guard to come put him at your tackle spot and expecting a miracle. Nah, you about to get a shit show, son.
Yeah.
Man, he got to have some pride, bro. He got to get in the weight room. You can't let. Verse is good, but Verse ain't did nobody like that all year, bro. You got to. Oh my God.
There's probably no better feeling for a defensive lineman to pick up an offensive lineman and throw him into a quarterback for a second.
Man has a family.
But bro, I just got a sack and I didn't even touch the quarterback. I just threw another human being into the quarterback for a sack. That's gotta feel good. Bro. Auntie's watching. So.
Her parents is watching.
Oh no, her dad's watching.
Her dad's watching. Like, I don't know if this is a man for you, baby.
Harrison,
can this guy protect you at the bar?
Harrison, on this point, Florida did not let Simmons go to Ohio State. Florida very much wanted Simmons to come to Florida. Simmons scheduled his visit to Ohio State before he scheduled his visit to Florida. That is not something that Florida like moved too slowly on. That's just what he chose to do. Florida did not think that he would commit to Ohio State at that visit. So there's a lot of reasons to be critical about transfer portal stuff. Simmons is not, unfortunately, one of those.
And another thing to keep in mind is a lot of this is business, but also these kids don't
This is not true either. Florida did not tell him not to visit because they were afraid to hurt guys' feelings. He scheduled a visit to Ohio State first. Florida wanted him there. They were not scared, both on the record or off the record, about Simmons coming and running somebody away.
I don't even
say that 100% definitive.
Right, and I don't want to be arguing this stuff on the timeline. Like, people say this stuff like it's just definitely truth, and these people are just like that incompetent. It's none of that's true, and people running with that narrative. And no shot at you, Harrison, at all.
No.
It's just us discussing what the facts
felt are. Felt like Dan was squaring up with our boy Harrison. Loyal listener shows up to every live show.
Life wallet hater like myself. Harrison, man. This is the thing though, right? Like, there's a lot of things that go into the transfer portal. There's a lot of things that Florida could improve on. There is a lot of things that from a execution perspective, Billy Napier's staff needs to work on. The transfer portal, the talent that they look at, how quickly they're able to get their ducks in a row are all things that they can improve on. There's a lot of things, Nick, you mentioned Keon Coleman. We were just talking about Simmons. There also has to be a lot of things that logistically work out for the other person on the other side of that portal as well. Sometimes you get lucky, sometimes you get unlucky.
Right.
That's the way that things work. But every time something falls not in Florida's favor is not a reason to be critical of the staff or to think that they're like too dumb not to realize that Simmons, who is a guy that, like, I'll say it off air, but I can tell you when their interest in him started. Like, Florida absolutely wanted to get him. They logistically couldn't work it out. He goes to Ohio State early, right? So, like, I do want you to know that, like, they're not as incompetent as, like, an On Three or Rivals message board might make it seem.
I mean, it's hard to defend it with the special teams and the other shenanigans. So I can see why people could.
Yeah, no, I get it, right? I understand why you want to air that way.
Yeah, I think off the field and the things behind the scenes, like the recruiting department, all that is ran way more efficiently. Mm-hmm. And we get to see that type of stuff and know that. And that's why it's surprising to see it on the field. Like, I think their attention to the detail and the recruiting and all that stuff is fire. But when they get to on the field, you're like, yo, what's up, Nick?
Also, like, not all of these elite players love the University of Florida like you guys do. And the logo carries no weight to a 20-year-old. They were five the last time Florida was relevant. And I hear people telling me, like, Billy Napier is making Florida a laughingstock. And I want to tell you, Florida hasn't been nationally relevant since the guys who were playing football were just out of diapers. So, like, no, Billy Napier is not making Florida irrelevant. The last three coaches have done that job. And you're trying to become relevant. But, like, a guy like Keon Coleman, unless you have an astronomical sum to change his mind about coming, which Florida doesn't. Florida doesn't have bank like that right now. They're not moving, eating caviar at lunch. That's not where Florida's NIL is. Florida's NIL isn't where they want it to be number-wise for this year. You're having a couple people float it. So, like, not everyone loves – Keon Coleman didn't dream of playing for Florida. You're not going to get him, you know, for a hometown discount. And that's going to happen every year in the transfer portal. So just because you love the University of Florida, that's not shared by everybody. And they're not coming to Florida just because, like Tim Tebow was talking about, like growing up watching the Florida State game and not wanting to go to church if Florida lost because he didn't want to have to hear it. Like, that's not everyone's reality.
Well said, Nicholas.
Yeah, Nick is always Nick's ready to go today.
Always positive.
Ready to pod today.
Passionate, man. You was passionate right there, Nick. I thought you were gonna cry for a second there. Let me just talk about this real quick, man. Like, it's not that serious. Like, people laugh at things. If one of these guys cry on Twitter or anywhere else, I'm like, we're gonna come on this show and I'm like, Nick, what the hell was going on? Why were you crying on your other podcast or whatever it may be? We're gonna joke. That's what we do around here. We got negative Nick jokes. We give each other hard times. That's what a lot of people just do in these manners. None of it's personal. Hundreds of people was laughing at that same tweet. It's nothing personal. I thought it was funny. Fan however you want to fan. But I didn't personally attack anybody. I didn't talk about anybody's family, anything like that. I laughed at something I thought was funny, which is normal. Like, people laugh at things, bro. And my content is based off humor and having fun. No disrespect. We keep it all clean. But I'm going to laugh at somebody. We laughed at Michigan coach last week when he cried.
Yeah, we did.
It's like, come on. People laugh at Tebow for crying on the sideline of the game. He played
it. They did. They did.
Like, this is normal. Like, I'm not abnormal, and clearly, because a lot of people laughing at it, but like, stop trying to make everybody a victim, man. Dave laughing at it. Like, what the hell? He's in the comments laughing at people that's laughing about it. So, relax. It's not personal.
Yeah.
I know we had our differences in the past, but it's not personal. I'm just laughing at something that's funny, bro.
Dave's my guy. Let me stay there for the Florida-Georgia game so I didn't have to venture too far into Dan's favorite county of Duval.
Don't blame you. Don't blame you. Let's give a quick shout. We got about 15 minutes left of the show today. Quick shout out to our friends over at Home Field Apparel. Go visit them, homefieldapparel.com. Promo code Stadium in Gala. Check out 15% off of your orders. Christmas time, Hanukkah time, Kwanzaa, whatever holidays you might be buying gifts for. My birthday in January. Go visit alumnihall.com. Promo code Stadium in Gala at checkout. 15% off. Say what?
You and that Mike gotta get a room.
Yeah. So, all right, let's see. So, recruiting right now, Gators struggling a little bit to retain a few of the class right now. Florida is we're about 3 weeks away from National Signing Day. How do you guys think this class ends up?
Hold on, Sean. What if Lagway is a bust? Listen, dog, if Lagway is a bust, the next coach better get his good quarterback. Like, that's just what it is. If Lagway's a bust,
Lagway, I ain't worried about
Billy's that. Billy's gone, bro.
As long, long as Lagway stay injury free. Like,
yeah, I think he's a franchise quarterback.
100%.
This is the guy you build
around. You got to get some more protection and other things.
Here's the problem is, like, Lagway's a quarterback that can save Billy's job, but Billy has to save his own job this offseason, making the correct coaching moves and organizational moves, or else you're not going to have a chance to have DJ Lagway save your job.
That's factor only.
DJ Tony. Lagway is not leaving the University of Florida. I can assure as much as I can assure a high school kid, he is not leaving. He has been locked in. He committed to Florida when they went 6-7. He stayed committed through 5-7. Lagway left Houston, Texas at what, probably 5-6 in the morning after a high school state championship to come over here. Like, what are you doing here?
They put him on flip watch for just no reason. Like, they just
like to talk. I can understand being negative.
Like, don't troll yourself. Like, you're 5-7. You're going to get trolled by other fan bases. Yeah. Don't join them by looking in the mirror and throwing trolls at yourself. Like, DJ Lagway's solid. You are just adding fuel to the people who are trolling you's fire by feeding into their narrative.
They just make up something like that and just run with it. He's going to flip. Like, why? Give me some substance to that.
It was the same reason I was making up rumors about Mike Norvell going to Texas A&M. A couple weeks ago. That was fun. That was a lot of fun.
I just said Rob Sells up for the Duke job. You see how that works?
Yeah. Jeez. I love it. So, all right. So, last few minutes here. So, Gators right now, Amir Jackson, tight end. Gators could use some help in the tight end room. He says, I'm home. He's excited. Florida does get some RPM favorite. For Gregory Smith out of Riverview here in the Tampa area, Sumner High School. Four-star Gregory Smith, the number 28 safety in the country. He would join potentially Phil Asame and Josiah Woods as safeties. Amaris Williams, I know a lot of Gator fans are a little worried about him. I know Tennessee's very much in the picture with him. I know Keith Niebuhr went up to North Carolina to hang out with him a couple weeks ago. But what do you guys think about this recruiting class? Oh, and then the last one is Daylon Evans. He's a Texas A&M commit, has visited Florida a lot of times, was at Florida this past weekend. Mike Elko just got announced as the head coach at Texas A&M. Don't know if that convinces him to stay or not. Obviously a more defensive focused guy, but your thoughts on the rest of this recruiting class, gentlemen?
Yeah, I know everybody got their opinions on them. This is just me saying what are must needs. First of all, you need to keep Amaris Williams in the fold.
Yeah.
That's the one that I'm most, you know, anybody's going to flip right now. The top tier guys is probably him. And I don't know where we stand in Evans, Daylon Evans, the defensive end that's committed to Texas A&M right now. He was on campus, said he had a good weekend, but defensive line recruiting, all that is very important. As we saw on the field, we've already lost a couple defensive linemen. So that's something I'm watching with Amaris Williams. The most important recruits right now that's left in the fold, obviously, is Jordan Seaton, who's just like Lagway at his position. He's a program changing type of guy. That's a very important. Do we get him? No, but I'm not gonna say no. I don't know. That's what I'm gonna say. Do we get him? I don't know.
There's still a no in there.
Yeah, I don't know. Like we just don't know. There's a lot of different people that are saying he may go other places, but you're talking about what they need. Like that's a must get in my opinion. You do whatever you got to do to bring a kid like that in. But at the same time, just being rational, we're also talking about replacing his position coaches at the same time with new OCs, new O-line coaches. So you got to keep all that in perspective of, yeah, Seton's very important, but we also it's important for us to get some different offensive line coaches in here in the OC. And that may cost us Seton. And we'll see how that weighs out in the portal. But offensive line recruiting, closing on Seton is very important. I would like to see us close with my man out there in – why am I forgetting his name? L.J. McCray's teammate. What is his name?
Oh, Zay Mincy.
Zay Mincy. Elite defensive backs is just needed on my campus. I know he may want to play corner. There's some talk about either corner or safety with him, but he's an elite defensive back. We need all of that on campus. So that's an important get for us. I mean, between – it depends on what we lose, man. Aaron Childs and the linebackers, those guys are going to play early. It's important to keep them in the fold. They look like they're solid. I think we need a top-notch receiver, but I don't know who's out there and who we get close with. There's still some needs and wants. If we're going to get flipped, we need to flip prospects from other schools as well. I've been impressed with the way these guys have been able to sell the product they had already. We'll see if they continue to sell the vision. and close with, hopefully, I think you got to be within that range, man, 6 and up. If you a little bit lower than that, of course, you're improving the quality of what Dan Mullen had, but I don't know if you're closing the gap to Georgia.
Yeah, obviously, those are the big questions that we will face each and every week over the next couple of weeks before National Signing Day happens. That is in 3 weeks. Obviously, there's some players that you guys want as fans to join this class. There's coaches that are recruiting those guys that you want fired. There is probably going to be a couple of different staffing changes made. We don't know if and when and what those will be, when they could happen. Could they be let go? Could their contract expire at the end of January? All things that were just in a wait-and-see mode. Follow Nick Della Torre for breaking news or football scoops every once in a while. Got the late breaking news. Dan Mullen right now, odds on favorite to be Syracuse coach? Maybe.
Dan is sassy on Twitter. Just the sassiest.
That's the orange and blue he deserves. Freeze, yeah, you know, Syracuse, sent his ass up there.
How much was his buyout, Nick? $36 million.
Dan tweeted that he loves the Cuse, but will not be their next head coach. Dan got a big fat check. He also gets paid $1 million real American dollars, not Life Wallet stock, real American dollars every July 15th through 2027. So, six, seven, 8 months from now, Dan's got a fat check coming from the University of Florida.
Yeah. And Nature Gator, you said it. Sometimes I'm a little skeptical to read the things that you post in the chat here, but Phil Trotwine, I know a lot of people want him. He's coaching at Penn State right now. He is from, I think he's from New Jersey or Pennsylvania. Yeah. I think that there's like obviously an interest in staying there. You know, would Florida go and make you a huge paid offensive line coach on a coach that like has two losing seasons under his belt? Do you leave that? I mean, James Franklin, like, is he going to get fired from Penn State soon? No, probably not. Right. So like all of these things, like that's unfortunate.
There's some interesting at Penn State though. Like, and it's, I'd be curious to see how we move in this, but I think if you're Trotwin and you're at Penn State, they fired the play caller and the next up was Juwan Sider as OC. So if Juwan Sider gets that role and keep it, like Trotwin's, if he has those aspirations of being an OC, I think Juwan, if they're not the same age, they're both very young. So Juwan will be there for a while. So where, if you want to be an OC, you might do start looking around. If you had those,
I'm not saying that it's not possible. I'm just saying that there's probably got to be a bigger reason other than him just coming back.
Yeah, just add some context to it. Yeah, just add some.
Black Pine Labs earlier said Dana Holgorsen for offensive coordinator. That's just not, in my opinion, the right fit. You know, we'll see what happens. You know, don't be surprised if you see a lot of names tied in. This is Jimmy Sexton season. Right, he's gonna make some huge money.
His printing money,
eaten. They don't need the Lucy promo code. They can buy it retail. You know what I mean? Yeah. They'll be fine.
I'm gonna help Sexton out with Rob Sale. I don't know if that's his client, but I'm gonna help him out. I'm gonna get that boy name in the streets.
Nature Gator, it is just a joke.
I got
buddy.
Every job that come up, I'm gonna put his name in it, man, with a fake football scoop, a Miami Herald account.
Oh, Harold's back.
I got to bring him back, bro.
It's Harold season.
I have to bring him out of retirement, baby.
All right. So this is what we're going to wrap up the show. One final ad read for our friends over at Alumni Hall. Go visit alumnihall.com. Go check them out on Archer Road. Hopefully you did. They've been great providers for the Gainesville community, for the University of Florida, where for a long time now. So in my opinion, one of the best places that you can get clothing, accessories, grilling tools, tents, all that kind of fun stuff that you might need if you do find yourself up in Gainesville. And hopefully we can find ourselves up in Gainesville, maybe for a basketball game this year. Shout out to them, looking pretty good, or a baseball game this year. But again, go support our friends over at Alumni Hall online or on Archer Road, right in Gainesville, Florida. So we will continue to do the show as we've done for the last 4.5 years, every Monday or Tuesday should, or every Monday, it will be posted every Tuesday on the podcast. Should things come up, we will be doing some more pop-up things. Yeah, to get you the news as it fits in time, right? We are not going to like relive this past season for the next 9 months, right?
No. We could do a game by game.
Yeah.
It's about to be tears. It's going to be complaints about like everything that went wrong all season. That's not what we're about to do all season is talk about what happened all season. If we have points that we have to refer back to, if changes we need made, cool. But we're going to talk about the new, whatever they're bringing in, new OCs, whatever changes. We're going to criticize that as well. It's not going to be all sunshine and purple skies. Like, we're going to, if you bring in the offensive coordinator that we don't like, we're going to talk about it. Are we going to bash him every day? Nah. We're going to criticize the hire, like the hire, whatever it may be, and then we're going to watch it play out and cover it as it play out. That's just how we podcast around here, man. We don't like to mully grub and cry about things that happen all season, man.
That's cool, too.
Like, consume all the content. It's all fire.
Yeah. It's not all fire.
Not all, but.
Yeah. So we are going to
do politically correct around here, bro. I got to pick something.
Yeah. You get to get me for that one. I said not all Gator content is fire. Let's see. So we'll be doing more pop-ups, a lot more interviews, getting back into our bag of interviews. We kind of went away from them a little bit this year just because we had a lot of great content to talk about. We appreciate you guys supporting each and every week. Make sure you hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. We're going to do baseball stuff.
We got to do some content with Lion at a baseball game, baby.
Mm. Yeah. Baseball team. Lion. If you thought Nick lied about the football team this year, wait till you get to baseball season.
First off, props. I was on point about football this year in the preseason. Everyone called me negative. I was on point.
Very good.
Call this team like it was back in June.
Congrats.
Before we go, Jonathan Odom, son of Jason Odom, friend of the program, both of them, Jonathan Odom did announce that he is going to transfer. Best of luck to him. Had a touchdown pass last season, a couple good plays. I know he's dealing with some injuries and everything else. So shout out to him. Adam Mihalik, kicker. Unfortunately, lost his job at the beginning of the season. Fortunately for him, he has 2 years of eligibility. He's announcing that he's going to enter the portal. You'll see a lot more names over the next few weeks entering the portal. So we will discuss.
That degree too fire. They had to force me out of here.
Yeah,
the degree is too valuable. Like, you guys will have to like call and get a restraining order on me to leave.
Yeah, that's one of those things that I'm not going to throw any college and university under the bus because I did it a few years ago and somebody was an alumni of that school and got really upset. But yeah, that would be tough for me to transfer from the number one public school in the country.
And I'll be all right. Can I pay to stay? Like, what are we talking about?
You still need backup.
Yeah.
256 watching live. Only 52 likes. That's
God. Haters. Embarrassing, guys.
200 haters.
I like you. Ric Flair said, great show. Nick is my favorite. Somebody else earlier.
You live in a negative world, man.
How dare you? I've been positive. Nothing but positive. We're on a positive campaign all year long. Next show, I'll tell you all about how I think Florida wins at least 8 games next year.
Scott Frost. It's terrible. No, we hire Scott Frost, we're in trouble. No, I don't want him as no OC, bro.
You mean University of Central Florida legend?
Hypo.
University of Central Florida legend, Scotty Frost.
All right, we got to get out of here.
Get in my bag.
All right, Silk, you have song of the week.
Oh, shoot. Of course I'm not prepared. I'm just going with what I listen to lately.
I put out something today over on Gators Online. I listed, I think it was like close to 20 guys when I included the NFL Departures, 20 guys that I'm looking for in the transfer portal, and guys I think that will leave. Listen, if you are the person who has been helping rival fans troll yourself, you're probably going to say the sky is falling. Florida literally doesn't have room to sign their 19-person signing class right now. You need attrition if you want to do all of this transfer portal shopping and you want to sign the class that you currently have signed. So when you get 15, 16, 17 guys hit the transfer portal, please don't freak out. Point at the screen, tweet at me, tweet at Silk, and say this is proof that Billy Napier has lost the program and that they don't care, that they're not listening to Billy, that they've given up. You literally don't have enough scholarships to sign the recruiting class. You need a bunch of attrition, and it's going to happen.
Mm. I never had a red and black background. What are you talking about? That was George Foster that had the red and black background. He came
back.
The Georgia guy. Shout out to Nature Gator, bro. You're all right with me, man. You're consistent.
Today. Silk, what do you got for song of the week, bud?
Give me I'm gonna go with the Fine Tunes of Currency, man. Pass Rich. A little Currency, Rick Ross. Let it marinate in your soul, man. Some good gems in there.
All right. Well, we will we'll get out of here. We will do more pop-ups. We will do more content. Hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button. Share it with somebody. There's a lot of people here watching. And we'll see you guys same corner, same time, each and every week with a few more pop-ups.
Yeah, Texas.
And remember, if you have an issue, tweet at Nick.
No, well, I love you. I send that. Send that it to.
Well, somebody I love said, you as the guys up and down, not
somebody side. Said Art, go get Arch Manny in the chat. So I thought you was like agreeing with him with some go home.
Listen, bro, why would Cam Rising come to Florida?
Cam Rising,
like what are we talking about here?
Arch Manny's not coming to Florida. There's a lot of Cam Rising talk, and I'm not 100% sure where it's coming from.
He's not coming to Florida because of an injury. Like, okay, whatever. We gotta get out of here.
All right, we'll talk about it next week. See you guys.
Yeah. That's that ice in that like off this project, buy my mind some more player shit. Perhaps a Rolex, another Benz. Why not? She deserve it. I never done no wrong in her eyes. I was always perfect. Her crib right across the street from mine. I'm in my driveway burning one down. Thinking about the times I had her nervous. But that was back then, as past tense. I'm wealthy and I'm healthy, nigga, I'm past rich. Climbed out a bad situation, never switched. Stayed a hundred. Preaching that you could do it too if I done it. You could get that Rolls Royce too if you want it. Every option on it. Come out your corner and dismantle your opponent. My nigga, this your moment. Put the home inside on.
I love the vibe. Black bottle bell that toast to all the real niggas worldwide. Successful till it's infinity, hustle like it with 10 of me, really just want a pussy. You could keep all the energy, diamonds look like they Tiffany. Shorty, I'm your epiphany, double R's, I'm highly recognized by all my enemies. Dirty money, so what I'm counting, call it syphilis. My hustle rigorous, killers know that it's hit or miss. Pussy pictures, emojis, go ahead and just send a kiss. Heavy eyes, fat boy, I still be on that chillin' shit. Nigga waves, I'm getting paid, so come get a raise. At the final, rockin' my Jacob and some pickup J's. Niggas gossip, I'm talking pockets, author, pen and page. Bestseller, Benny Blanco, I left him in the days.
You could get that Rolls Royce too if you want it. Every option on it. Come out your corner and dismantle your opponent. My nigga, this your moment.